This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and if there's anything I learned from the week that I quit sugar, it's that I didn't.
I'm Brandi Posey, and Vaughn's Monopoly doesn't have a board this year because of COVID, and you rubes think things are going back to normal.
I'm Tess Barker, and my forehead is vaccinated against showing emotion.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
What's up? Welcome to the show, everybody. We're recording this on a Friday. I'm cracking a claw, girl. Baby.
Oh, Barbara's got a white claw.
And you surprised us. Barbara and I work together like all day, every day, and I did not get any sort of forewarning that this white claw was coming.
Damn.
Well, we were working like most daytime. I mean, it's 3 p.m. right now, but I feel like I've done enough work today already.
Absolutely. So it's absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, if you can't have a white claw at 3 o'clock on a Friday, what are we even doing? You know what I mean?
Oh, this just turned into something, some sad ad that I don't want to be a part of. I do want to talk about, well, anyway, let's bring in our guest and we can get more into it. She's a hilarious comic. We're so excited to have her on. You can catch her new show on Netflix called The Wedding Coach. Also read her book, Ridiculous. Jamie Lee, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. This is great.
So good to see you.
I have to say that you have the frosty cubes behind you that I'm obsessed with. What are they called? Yeah.
They're so good.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's Coke Mansion, but I am renting my friend's apartment in New York for a little bit. So it's not only the bubble glass, you also got the spiral staircase, which really is like 80s dream.
It's so 90210. Like, I expect Dylan McKay to be like coked up and cleaning a gun right behind you.
Totally. No, I totally get that. Yeah, honestly, like, my childhood dream was just to, like, live in a castle made of bubble glass. And that's I don't know about the castle part, but there is bubble glass inside this apartment. So
I think for any of us, anything with a spiral staircase counts as a castle at this point.
Absolutely.
Why did we glorify spiral staircases? Like, what is it about them that are
I think it's just because they must be hard to build. I don't know.
I think it's because when you wear a long dress, it's very stunning to have it on the spiral staircase.
Oh, to kind of have, like, to watch it sort of, like, dust around as you descend the stairs. I see.
A train of some kind to go with
it.
But really, they're not good stairs. Like, you have to hold on. The steps are always really far apart. Like, it's actually the worst kind of stairs. They're not good.
It would be better if you just had a pole to, like, get up or down from.
No, totally. Always, like, kind of, like, climb along. Like, my hands, like, climb up the stairs to, like, make sure I don't fall off of them. Anyways,
A pole would be great because then at least you could get, like, some upper body strength on the way.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. Mm-hmm. Do you think the firemen, just like at night when no one else is watching, just do a little pole dance on their little fireman poles?
Just kind of like twerk up on it.
Yeah, just like to try it. I don't know. I hope so.
I think more likely they do.
I mean, I've seen
I've concluded they do. I actually know, and they do.
I mean, I've seen these calendars they put out. Like, they're doing something, right? So
That's true. Yeah. That's a good workout.
Look, I want them to be doing it. I mean, honestly, God, they have those, like, fundraisers where they have the firemen go bring their boots out to the street. Do they do that in your neighborhood?
Hey, what the fuck is this?
Wait, I don't know about
this. They do it all the time in Eagle Rock, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have this fundraiser where the firemen bring their boots out to for donations. Much mm-hmm. better oh. to have them pole dance. Then I will really make it rain.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. All I need is a firehouse cat to get me involved. Honestly, aww. I just need an old tabby that's like somehow, you know, opened up the hearts of these cold, hard firemen.
It's cold, hard fire.
And like, that's what I'm looking for in a firehouse, TBH.
Wait, quick firehouse question. Is a pole really the most efficient way to get down from something?
Probably not, honestly. I guess the stairs probably are a better call. Why is that? Like,
I just feel like there are so many other ways where you could get down faster. And like, honestly, poles like chafe and like don't feel good. I don't know.
Yeah. And like,
I've never understood that.
No.
You're definitely saving maybe like 2 seconds, but you have more of a risk of falling, you know?
Yeah.
Or
what if you have to carry something with you? Like, what if you like need your glasses or your wallet?
Usually downstairs. Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. But like, I think
you know, it's the middle of the night. You gotta like, you know, how sometimes you just get out of bed and you like grab your phone real quick. If you have to take a pole, you can't have like your phone in your hands.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to make a few trips, which feels...
you know, you've got to take a bunch of selfies after you save a bunch of people from a burning building, so...
Yes, yeah,
so
you have to have your phone on you. No, you cannot be without your phone when you're a fucking hero.
Exactly. If you didn't take a selfie after you saved someone, did you even save someone?
Did you actually? Yeah. If a person dies in a fire, did it even... Wait, I was trying to do the thing about a tree falling in the forest. It didn't work.
This took a turn real fast.
That's okay. So, Jamie, hey, tell us about your new show on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I have a new show on Netflix. Didn't I come on and talk about my book when I wrote it on here? I feel like I did.
Yes.
Years ago. Yeah. So, wrote this book about weddings, about me getting married. And then the show is kind of, I would say it's kind of like, it's definitely a reality show, but it's kind of in like the Queer Eye vein. It's very like feel good. Trying to be positive in the dark spot that is the pandemic. So I basically go in and help couples who are struggling during their wedding planning process. So I kind of deal with like family drama and like all the interpersonal stuff, like stuff that like wedding planners don't necessarily handle. So less about less about like stuff with the venue and like making sure things run on time. It's more like making sure like you and your mother are talking before the big day kind of thing.
I will definitely say, because you know, we get a lot of ladies writing in about things like this, and that does seem to be the bigger issue, is like family relations, or like who to invite and not to invite, or who's, you know, in the bridal party.
And like, it is batshit fucking crazy to be planning a wedding, because just the amount. It is such a time-consuming and stressful process, on top of the fact that you're probably also working.
Totally.
I think it's just, like, so helpful to have, like, a way to navigate that.
I remember for Tess's wedding, when someone couldn't make it, and she was like, she emailed me and told me, and I was like, well, I'm not going to tell Tess until after. Or like,
yeah, thank you.
And I guess she did it the right way. She was like, I, like, Googled what to do, and it was to, like, not tell Tess. And I was like, yeah, that's probably the best idea.
I love that you Googled it. That's so sweet.
That was the other, that she did it. She was like, okay, you're supposed to tell someone who's close to the bride, but not the bride, so they don't have to deal with that information. I was like, that's a good call.
Yeah. The bride, it's definitely a tough spot, because like, it's sort of split. Like, on one hand, you want everyone to leave you alone, and then on the other hand, you want to have control over everything because you're spending so much money, and if you're spending money on things, you inherently have to care about them more, I learned.
Yes.
Did you feel that way at all, Tess?
Yeah, 100%. And then, like, I was very, like, mindful of, like, as soon as it was, like, showtime, I just knew to, like, just say fuck it to certain things and not let it get to me. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Well, my veil like, as I was walking down, like, they played mm-hmm. my song, and I had, like, an outdoor wedding, and I go yeah. to, like, walk with my dad, and I feel my head being pulled back.
Oh, my God.
And it was a windy day, and my veil had wrapped around the mailbox in front of the house. This mm-hmm. veil that I had spent, like, so much time picking out and agonizing over, and I just ripped it out of my hair, and, like, the last thing I said before I walked down the aisle was, fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
And I have to say, as a viewer, I really missed the veil person.
Yeah. That's why we gave you 4 out of 5 stars for your wedding, Tess.
I knew it. I knew it.
What assholes. Okay. I want to make sure we don't forget this. We did ask for people to call in with their cackles, man cackles.
Oh, yes.
I didn't want to miss out on doing it. So, you know, we, Jamie, oh, I will say too, we've gotten a lot of great reviews for the show lately. So thank you so much. There's been really a lot of fun people writing, but we did get a review saying too much cackling. And so we were talking about it on the show. And we were like, do men cackle? And I think we got our answer. Let's
roll it, Babs.
Let's hear it, everybody. Terrifying.
Oh my God, that was so scary. It was like Chucky.
I don't know if I call it a cackle. I don't know. I think that feels more of like
it was an evil laugh.
It's an evil laugh. Yeah.
A little bit of a little bit of a snicker, if you will.
Ooh, yes. Snicker. Yes. Absolutely.
At the end was very like like definitely evil.
Right.
The first thing that came to mind was like the mean Smurf. They have like
oh. Yes. Absolutely.
Well,
very Gargamel.
The problem is that a real cackle comes from a conversation like this, you know? You can't just kind of like pull it out of nowhere. It kind of has to be in the moment when you're talking mm-hmm. with people. So, yeah. Okay.
Do we have a couple more examples?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay. Hey, ladies. My name's Cody. I'm 30. I'm a brick mason. And this is my submission for man cackles.
Okay.
Which is usually followed by dumbass. So, you know, that's it. Dumbass. Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you, Cody.
That was a very Simpsons.
Absolutely.
I was going to say Quagmire. I felt like it was a little giggita, a little bit.
Yeah, I can. There's I'm feeling notes of Giggita Giggita for sure.
I am too. We got some undertones of Giggita.
I appreciated the dumbass coda. That context really, I thought, helped make the melody sing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Agreed.
I appreciate he told us he was a brick mason. He gave us some context to where mm-hmm. we might be hearing this. You could see him calling his fellow masons a dumbass, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I also, not to be a stickler, I'm still not sure if I classify it as a cackle because dumbass feels like that's coming at somebody versus in a conversation where you were compelled to cackle through like the collective goof that's happening.
Right. And I think,
So I was just going to ask, is cackling, I always thought cackling was kind of like the way like a witch would laugh. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Is that
that's a cackle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess that is kind of an evil, I mean, I think that they're saying it about us. We kind of like have a loud like, ha ha, you know, your face. It was associated with witches. I guess that might seem more like an evil laugh, but I think that they're both called that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think cackle has a certain, chickenness to it. It's got like a little poultry kind of vibe.
Oh yeah, it's bird-like.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's a great call.
Okay, yeah. We got one last input on it.
Okay.
I'd just like to say that straight men don't cackle, but gay men do.
That's a cackle. Oh my God, it's still going.
No, that's a cackle.
That was a cackle.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh my God. That was a cackle for sure.
I know it was because it made
it was
me.
Also, it was
do
like
it.
A cackle, like sort of like orgasmic, because it sort of like trailed off like an orgasm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
There were like a few little like shock waves there at the end.
Wow. Thank you for the sampling, everybody. Feel free to call us. 323-6-BUT-30 is the phone number if you want to leave yours.
Great submissions, though, guys. Really appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just exciting to see that, like, cackles aren't as gendered as people necessarily think. So it's nice to open that up.
Yeah, the cackle community.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to say in relation to White Claw, did you guys see how they're making White Claw with, like, more alcohol? They're making a version of it with more alcohol?
I did not see that.
What is...
So, hot news. I guess they're putting, like, 20% more in and calling it White Claw Extra or some shit like that. But people were trying to compare it to Four Loko, and I was like, how dare you disrespect Four Loko like that? This will never do what a Four Loko did in a million... It won't be allowed to by the FDA
exactly
what Four Loko did. I don't know why people were comparing that.
Is there a lot of alcohol in a White Claw right now, or not really?
They're generally considered, I think, kind of low key. But I mean, it's 5% alcohol. So if they up that, it's definitely, like, if they get it to 10%, that's going to be, you know.
Ooh, 10%, that's dangerous. Because that's like what wine is, right?
Yeah, that's definitely up there.
I miss Four Loko. I really liked it.
I look back so fondly on that year. Like, I feel like we all were having so much fun the Four Loko year.
Yeah, there's a comic who has a term for that summer, and I can't remember, but yeah, it has a very, it's funny that, like, I have a terrible memory, but I actually remember the Four Loko summer better than I should, all things considered.
Is that whatever that special secret ingredient was? It's just like, you'll remember everything. Because it was super caffeinated and boozy, right? At the same
time?
That's
the ticket, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there another drink that is caffeinated and boozy now? Like, a different brand that does that?
Not really. Like, I guess there is, like, coffee, kind of like coffee booze drinks. Is there?
But, like,
I don't know if that's being sold.
Like, pre-made. Really? There used to be a drink, I'm not sure if it's still made, called Bang.
Oh.
And it was, like, an orange caffeinated alcoholic malt liquor.
Oh, I would definitely drink that. I love it. I love a canned alcohol.
Me too. And this is just making me think about my old friend Vodka Red Bull.
Oh, I mean, your old friend? Talk about my new friend, okay? I fucking love Vodka Red Bull. Is my favorite drink of all time. I honestly think it's the best performance drink. Like, if you're about to do stand-up or something, it's unbelievable because it chills you out, but it also makes you concentrate. It's like, yeah.
And, like, big, when you want to have a good time and be social, it makes you, like, up and happy and just, like, bopping around and dancing.
Absolutely.
And, like,
I am my best self on Vodka Red Bull. And honestly, like, the next day is truly the worst day of my life every single time. But it is so worth it. Like, in the moment, it makes so much sense.
Wow. Because I haven't had an occasion to have a Vodka Bull the whole time we've been in the pandemic.
It would be psycho if you had that like alone that in your home. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a drink I'm pouring myself ever.
No, that's not like a home alone.
No, it's not. You have to have an activity for it. But if you can, if there is an activity, yeah, it gets the job done.
Didn't there used to be one called Sparks? That was a caffeinated.
I'm looking at Four Loko, Juice, Sparks, and Tilt. So I think they all got banned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I found another list that has Juice, J-O-O-S-E, too. I don't know what that is, but that apparently was also a caffeinated
rest in peace
drink.
Getting juiced. Okay, we're going to go get juiced. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
Barbie. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jamie Lee.
Hi.
And we are going to play a game and ask you some questions. Here's the theme.
Okay.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Why? If you know any weddings that need like a band, you know, feel free to suggest us to sing our theme song.
We'll, we'll make a theme song for you.
I feel like, we should ask Jamie because Babs is a wedding DJ.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No,
I actually,
really?
I mean, I've done it a few times. I like DJing
awesome.
In general. But I did get asked to do my first one of 2021.
Oh, wow.
And what do you think? Do you have any good hot tips for a wedding DJ? Because I have only done it like once or twice before, so I want to make sure I'm not fucking up.
Yeah, I mean, I already, just in knowing you, have a feeling you're probably very good at it, because some of them are so corny. But I think the biggest thing to me about like wedding music in general, I don't know if this answers the question, but I always think that like, people think that because there are like older guests at a wedding, you have to play older music. And I don't think that's true. I think that people of that generation can easily appreciate whatever we're like, whatever we're enjoying as well. Right. Because, like, I noticed at my cousin's wedding, my grandfather, he is 97 years old, and he didn't actually get up and start dancing until someone played Rihanna. Like, he was sitting down for, like, all of the, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire, like, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. All the, like, as I call it, like, step touch music. Like, you can't even really dance to it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just think that that would probably be the thing that I would wish more weddings would just like take a chance on.
That's a great tip. Yeah, I like to play a variety, but I will say my own music taste probably hasn't changed in the last 20 years, so you're not getting anything too recent. I've definitely had the same playlist for quite a while.
Barbara's got people walking down the aisle to Papa Roach. It's getting crazy. Cut my life in two pieces.
If I heard this that, is my wedding my day. Yeah.
You get on the mic and dub over wedding day.
I honestly think that this couple, oh, well, they're listeners of the show. I think that they would maybe be into that. So, hey, if you guys want, God. If Daphne and John, if you guys want me to do that, let me know.
That's a fun Easter egg. Yeah.
I am such a fan of DJs over bands, personally. Mm. I had a band and I did not think they were good. And I thought it was really distracting at my wedding.
Yeah, that's
Why
true.
Did you go
I
the
like
band
the live
route?
Band a lot, but they have to be really good.
They have
and
to be
like,
really good. Really and the good. Sound system has to be fucking next level. Like,
yeah.
And if the you're hearing a classic, you want to probably just hear the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need like your spin on Shake It Off or whatever. This guy was fucking doing his own rendition. Oh, no. It was like so stressful. Yeah. So
yeah, we had live music in our ceremony because I really like live music
that
and
love.
Like wanted that vibe.
Yeah. Sure.
So yeah, that's how I incorporated that. And then yeah, we just did a playlist.
No, I think that's the perfect place for the live music. But then later it's like, I just want to hear the song. I just want to hear the original song the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say, like, drunk people will dance to anything.
That very is very true.
That's very true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to our questions here.
Okay. Who gives the best toasts?
Who gives the best toasts? Probably, I think dads on a whole. I feel like dads are pretty good at it. Like, also, you have the satisfaction of just, like, seeing a man open up, which goes a long way sometimes, I think. So yeah, I'm gonna say dads.
That is something that, like, you know, I have been thinking maybe about getting married someday recently. Mm-hmm. And my dad said to me something like, I'll pay you if you elope.
Oh wow. Love that.
He's like, I don't have the speech. I don't know what to say. He
yeah,
just is avoiding the speech.
I think he just doesn't want to deal with, you know, helping me pay for a thing, which I get. But it's like I'm on that thing of like eloping or wedding elope. It's hard because, you know, obviously you can have a reception and stuff where people give toasts, but it's like once in a lifetime opportunity for people to like come forward with this thing to say this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so
for
rare.
Sure. I will say on the flip side of that, I had the same feeling about like my rehearsal dinner. That was where everyone was going to do the toast. And I was like, I can't wait to see like, what are people going to say about me and how well do they know me? And like, how am I going to be spoken about, you know? And then like some of them were good. Some of them were good. And then some of them I wanted to be like, sit the fuck down.
I didn't think about the other side of that.
It's they're honestly more of that than good. A lot of it was like, okay, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap it up. Yeah,
being a performer takes so much out of it sometimes for people because you're like, I know
you're critiquing.
I could have punched this up and it would have really made it sing about how much you love me. I wish you had given me the, I have notes actually.
And you're feeling the energy of the audience. And yeah, it's very nerve wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's,
I didn't think about people.
No, I do think dads, I love seeing a dad on a wedding because I also have like this like dad, like, energy that is only they only have on a wedding day. It's like one of the few times you see a dad really dance, like they just like they're like, I paid for all of this and my daughter's got a good guy, and it's just like this a special kind of happy they only get on that day.
Yeah, I think that's right. Also, like my dad is really hard of hearing, and so sometimes he seems like he's kind of like not paying attention. Mm-hmm. And his energy when we're like just hanging out, it can be really frustrating because he doesn't always wear his hearing aids and it's like a whole battle. But on my wedding day, there was something so comforting about him not looking like super focused. Like he kind of seemed a little checked out, and I just found it to be really heartwarming. It grounded me. I was like, yeah, I want to check out too. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was like really sweet that he's just like, I still being my dad.
And it is very calming. Like, I enjoyed walking down the aisle with my dad too, because it was just like, it was kind of nice. He was just like, all right, just breathe, it's chill, like have fun.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, thanks, dad. Like, it's kind of nice to have that like moment, because it is like, so especially like getting ready for, I remember like I felt like a doll. Like I couldn't pee or drink anything. And like I was like, I need to walk down the aisle because I can't spend one more minute as a human mannequin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's true though. Yeah. The getting ready part, I think a lot of people, I don't know. It's like when you think about, I was in hair and makeup for like 4 hours. I was like, Jesus, like...
If I'm going to be in hair and makeup like that long, I know this would take longer, but I also want them to be making a plaster version of my head that we can do like a fake gag of, because if we're sitting here getting ready
like a
all
Mrs.
day,
Doubtfire, like prosthetic.
Yes,
it can't just be like 2 hours on shading your eyes or whatever.
Yeah, I also want some kind of gag where I can take it off.
You walk down the aisle and like Spawn.
But it'd be great, because then on your 50th wedding anniversary, you could put your dress back on and your old face back on too, and be like, "Remember, this is what you saw walking down the aisle."
What if you walk down the aisle with the mask on, and then the person marrying you starts pretending that they're choking, and then you have to give them the Heimlich, and then you're all right.
Here, another question. What if then when you kissed, you had one of your masks underneath the seat of every wedding guest, when you kissed the groom, when your faces parted, he looked and everybody had your face.
Oh my god,
I'm just throwing out some ideas.
I like this.
Terrifying. The main thing people like want when they go to a wedding, they want to be terrified.
I want to go
to a horror wedding.
I want the first moment of your marriage to be full of confusion and fear for the groom. That's what
Hey, isn't that what it always is? All right,
hey, fucking women
getting tied down to this broad.
Okay, Jamie, what's the worst wedding you've ever been to?
Can you say it?
This is a great, definitely. The worst wedding I've ever been to, oh God. I mean, honestly, so many of them are bad. Like, it's kind of crazy. I want to be that person that's like, I love weddings. I'm like, no, most people don't do them right. probably the one that I hated the most was this really like opulent, over-the-top wedding in Boston at... There's like a hotel that's kind of like their version of the Plaza called the Copley Plaza, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a wedding there, and it was just like very nauseating how much money they spent. Like there were like details that just could not have mattered less. And you know that they cost a lot. Like they had like flower petals in your champagne glass. And then there was like a man in the corner of the room, like painting the scene. And I walked by the painting. I walked by the painting and I was like, this guy is fucking bad at painting. Like he's not even, this is so bad. Like it looks like shit. And like, I don't know. I just felt, I was so bored. And I at the time was with a boyfriend who was just sort of like waspy, and his parents were waspy, and it's just like not my vibe as like a Texan Jew. So I was just kind of like, ugh, this is like very much not my scene at all.
When you're spending that kind of money and it's boring, it's like an extra fuck you. Because it's like, no, you have the budget. This could have been really fun. Yeah.
It also just had money to put flower petals in your drink. It's like
they just had this vibe. There was like a vibe of this couple like does not fuck. Like it was so. It just, you can just kind of feel it. Sometimes you're like, oh, you got like something's wrong. Like that's why you're spending this much attention and money on things that just don't matter because he like won't go down on you. Like that was the fun.
Yeah. No, when the pressure is on, like it being the. When the pressure is like, this has to be the best day of my life versus like, oh, this was the best day of my life. It's totally. Like totally different situation.
I will say, like, I don't remember if I thought I was making this more efficient, but when I planned my wedding, I was like, I want to personalize everything. I don't want it to be like a package where I'm going to bring, I'm going to choose the caterer and I'm going to, terrible idea. Like, oh my God.
It's
like,
hard.
That is so time consuming because you have all these fucking ideas. You're like, oh, I'm going to have lavender in the napkins. Well, guess what? Somebody has to fold those napkins and put the lavender in it. And it's too late. You already bought the lavender, so it's going in the napkins. And it's like there's so many little things like that that I'm like, oh, it would be so much easier just to. But I don't think I would have done my wedding in a different way. I like that it was like that personal.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think I thought it would be like easier that way. And it's not.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know. Right. Yeah.
Maybe picking those personal things, but having someone else execute them, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the drawing the scene thing, I want to find this painting now.
Oh my God.
It's so funny. Just like really bad, crudely, like. Also, emojis for people's faces.
If it's bad, you don't want to put it up, but like, what are you
gonna
put it up?
That shit? I know. You're like, you paid for this like shit painting, but it's your shit painting, so I guess you have to throw it up on the wall. But like, ugh.
And then, like, can you imagine? Are they still together? Do you know?
I was with my boyfriend. It was his friend, so I don't know. But I have a feeling. I mean, I'd be shocked.
Because I was going to say, can you imagine like the divorce taking down of the wedding, the shitty wedding painting?
Oh,
they're
my
dividing
God.
Their
the
assets.
The symbolism. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man, I think my least favorite weddings are when they're like, when the reception is super religious, but you know the couple isn't religious and you're like, oh, this is like for family, but it's your day. So it's like you didn't claim your day as your day. That always I always hate feeling like that. I'm like, oof.
Yeah. I also had a friend who was not religious and she married someone really religious. And that was also hard to watch for me because I was like, I know that she's not connected to what's being said right now. Like as someone who's not religious, I very much was like, oh, I would feel uncomfortable. If this were
so
me.
Funny, because even though I am not religious, I feel like my parents would still be like, what if I didn't like have it in a church or something? I don't know why. It's been very obvious for a
that's
long
common.
Time. But
that's I mean, a lot of people, I think, are in that position.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing you learn when you get married is you're like, oh, a lot of people have opinions about weddings.
Yeah.
I know. Their expectations are very intense.
Yeah. Now, I remember I officiated my brother's wedding and some relative, I don't know who they were, but they came up to me afterwards and it was a beautiful ceremony. It would have been better in a church, but it was really.
Oh.
I was like,
okay, cool. Just drop
God
that in the comment.
You.
Box.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was like on like a beautiful farm at like as all the trees were changing color, like at the beginning, at the end of September. Like,
sorry
that
doesn't,
that wasn't.
Sorry,
doing
foliage
it for you.
Doesn't do it for you.
Exactly.
And like, you're welcome to spend other Saturdays in a church.
Feel free.
Next question: where to honeymoon?
Where to honeymoon? I feel like for a while I was really into like trips that were more like adventurous. But lately I just want to like sit in a resort. So that's probably what I would do is just like pick some cool resort and go for a few days. The only thing that sucks about resort culture is it is so expensive. So you can't go for a long time. Also, you don't want to because after a while, if you're just like staring at the ocean for a while, you're like, you just feel, you're like, do I have dementia? Like, you just don't feel, like, it's, like, not healthy. Like, you're just kind of, like, brain dead.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's, like, do a quick thing at a beach or, like, do an adventure for 2 weeks, like, somewhere.
That's a good call.
Adventurous. Yeah.
Yeah. When do you think is, like, like a good time, like have the most successful time to honeymoon? Is it like right after the wedding? Is it doing like a little thing and then a big thing later? Or like, what do you see happening the most?
I mean, I love a right after just because it's like kind of nice, like especially if the wedding planning was stressful, it's like you owe it to yourself. But it is hard to coordinate that. I think so many people, most people I know, don't go right after anymore. It's like they have to work, so they'll just like do it when they can.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's like I know two people separate who events kind of. Yeah, now.
I have friends who are like, it was like 2 years before they actually took their honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what did you do, Tess?
We like checked into a nice hotel for a couple nights, and then we went to Italy the next year. I think, or like 9 months later.
Yeah. It was that's awesome. Kind of what I did. Yeah.
I think that's kind of nice because you're probably just so exhausted from the wedding. It's like, I just need to like, I want to be with you somewhere. I don't want to worry necessarily about traveling, but just being away from everything.
I'll never forget. Yeah, we went to the Ojai Valley Inn, which was like amazing.
Oh, beautiful.
But I had been like, you know, not eating carbs or drinking beer or doing any of that shit. And I remember I like checked into that hotel and changed into a bathrobe and ordered like the biggest veggie burger fries, shake everything and watched Jurassic Park. And it was great.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Yeah. The day after my wedding, I don't think I've ever consumed that much food in my entire life. I was like Kirby's Dreamland, just like inhaling, just like, just going into my body. It was like cheeseburger, rotisserie chicken, pasta, more pasta. Because I just like wasn't eating before.
Yeah.
Not even in a deliberate way, just like so stressed that I mm-hmm. wasn't hungry like at all. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Like my body like shut down.
Same. Yeah, I remember I get like that when I'm nervous anyway. I just kind of like lose my appetite.
Me too.
And like my soon-to-be sister-in-law was like, you have to eat something. And she like came and brought me a banana. And I like instinctively made a blowjob joke with my mom and mother-in-law on either side of me.
I like just thinking of delirious Tess. Like her instincts just go to like blowjob joke.
Yeah. So good. All right, Jamie, when do you throw away the wedding favors from weddings that you've been to?
This is a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of favors are we talking? Like little like truffle chocolates?
I don't see them as much now, but you know, like someone like gives you a little chalkboard with their initials on it or like some mm-hmm. useless thing that's kind of like a display thing that you're probably not going to. You know.
Yeah, those are getting left in the hotel room usually.
That's a good idea. Food. And then if somebody else wants them, they can go in like the lost and found if someone wants to take them.
If someone really needs a mini chalkboard, for sure. Yeah, I definitely I feel like if it's not food, then I don't really respond to it.
Did you do favors at your wedding?
Yeah, but I don't know what it was. Oh, actually I do. Margie Mintz made she made like pralines for people to take on their way out.
Oh, that's good. I think a snack's good.
Yeah, I feel like a snack's cute. Yeah, I remember she did that and I was really grateful because that was something I hadn't thought about and she just like handled it. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Tess, if you want us to talk about this, we can cut it out if you want. What about the lingerie? I've completely forgotten about this until just now.
What lingerie?
The like passed down. The nightie thing
God.
That got I just
oh
I
God.
Completely
I
forgot about this until now.
Is it an heirloom
negligee? Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's actually like really cute. I think it's really cute. So like Sean has like this huge Irish family, and there's this nightgown that like. It started out like one of his great aunts was going off to join a convent and she like had this when she went to join the convent, one of her siblings like slipped it into her suitcase as a joke.
Okay.
And so
became
like this thing that like every single time someone gets married as a prank, it's kind of like getting iced.
Oh my God. Okay. So are people actually wearing it?
No, nobody wears it.
Okay,
get it, and then you pass it on to the next couple that gets married.
Okay, so it's not like Sisterhood of the Traveling Teddy.
Wait, so you, but your assignment was then to slip it to the next person, right? So what did you...
Oh, yeah, we already got it. We only had it for, like, because Sean has a huge family, so we only had it for, like, maybe 6 months, and then his cousin got married, so we made, like, a video where Sean was wearing it.
Oh,
and
great.
Then that's how we gave it
okay.
to them.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't read. I just remember that. And I was like, oh, I don't know if this something weird happened, but good. Okay. It was all.
No. Yeah. No.
My mother-in-law, actually, now that we're talking about lingerie, my mother-in-law gave me like a nighty set. Like, and it was like a white, it was like little white silk shorts and like a little like white camisole. And it said bride on it. And I remember being like, cute. I love it.
That's a lot.
So me. Yeah, and also it's like, it's so weird because it's like, your son's going to see me in this tonight. Like, it's just like so creepy.
Well, think of you. Thank you.
I just love think of you with every pump. Yeah.
I just love the image of like, honey, I'm going to change. And then showing up with something that says bride on it.
Yeah.
So just so gross. You know.
In case you forgot after today.
Oh, my God. Does it make you horny that I'm a bride?
All right. We've all got to change into something more comfortable. We'll be back in a second. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Jamie Lee.
Hi, hi, hi.
We are going to do a lady problem right now.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
All right. If you have one, you can write to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or the aforementioned 323-6-butt-30. Let's do it.
Hey, ladies. Big fan of the podcast. So excited you're on Exactly Right. I have a lady problem. I am getting married, and I sent out my invitations right before COVID started in February. Well, technically just my save the date. I have not yet sent out invitations for my wedding in the fall, but we're coming up on 6 months out, and I want to send them out. My issue, my lady problem, is that there are people I invited that I have not spoken to in a year or more. And I'm wondering what you ladies think about, do I have to invite them? There's some new people that I've befriended in quarantine that I want to invite. Can I uninvite them? How do I uninvite them? Do I just not send them an invite and hope they don't think about it? How do I go about this? What do you guys think? I'd love to hear your advice. Thank you so much. Big fan. Love you all. Bye.
Ooh, boy. That's...
I see Jamie getting her game face on for this answer. Yeah. Well, she's like, I've trained for this.
I wish. Yeah, that's a really tough one because I can definitely relate to, like, having people that you got closer to during quarantine because of, like, pod culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my instinct is, like, don't apologize. Like, I think everybody understands that everything's been weird and different and... like anyone who can't understand, I feel like that's not very cool, but also that sucks to be in that position. Like that sucks to have to disinvite. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Ooh, this is really hard.
What if you just didn't send the invites to them?
That's kind of what I was thinking too.
And then if they call you on it, you could be like, oh, I guess it got lost in the mail.
Oh yeah. No, but then they're going to know like, after they see your wedding pictures.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, but then you, yeah, yeah. That's I when mean, you say it got lost in the mail.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shit, I sent it to you. I guess I just didn't hear back from you. Right. That's yeah, shitty, but...
I think realistically, you keep track of who you have invites out to, and like if someone has an RSVP, you're like, yo, are you coming or not?
Yeah. Oh, got it.
Yeah, this is tough because it's like, it really depends too on who it is, like how close, you know, are they going to like know other people going... I feel like your responsibility as far as how much they know depends on that, kind of. Like, if it's a random person who wouldn't know anyone else going, I wouldn't feel as bad, you know? But if they're going to see pictures of, like, a lot of friends and stuff, it's a little awkward.
Right.
You know what? I think I know what she does. I think she moves these people to the B list. Get your invites out, and then you might have some, like, no's come in, and that's then maybe you'll have a little bit of flexibility.
That's true, because it sounds more like a... I mean, it sounds like a size issue, which is like, I kind of want to replace the old people with these new people.
Yeah.
So maybe you can go ahead and do that. And then I do think if you need to tell these people that they're not invited, which I kind of think you should do, is you can just say, hey, you know, things have changed since COVID. It's been a crazy year. Unfortunately, I've had to reshuffle some things and it's going to be a bit smaller than I thought. I'm really sorry, but I had to cut my guest list down. I don't know. You know.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that I do think it's becoming commonplace for people to say they're downsizing their wedding. So I doubt. Yeah. I think that part is like becoming kind of like part of the conversation. So at least it's not going to be like, what? I think they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the thing that's happening right now.
Yeah. I think you have a very valid reason. It's not like it's coming out of nowhere. It makes so much sense that somebody would do that after everything that's happened.
And you have to be like a pretty big jerk to not understand that.
For sure. Well, also, like, if I'm not, like, if I've lost touch with people and I, like, don't, I frankly would be stoked to, like, not I'd go to a wedding that I didn't know a ton of people at and wasn't that close with friends with, like, the bride and groom, too. Like, oh, good, you know. It's, like, I always feel bad saying no to a wedding, but there's, like, there's, I've only, like, you know, declined once or twice because of, like, touring or something like that, but it's always, like, I don't want to spend all that.
I mean, I've for sure not been invited to ones where I thought maybe I would have been, and I was like, cool.
Yeah, all good.
I agree.
Like,
I haven't really had, like, how dare you. I haven't had that happen.
No.
Yeah.
I will say I do have some people, because it was really stressful trying to, like, keep the invite list, and honestly, there's a handful of people that I wish I'd invited that, like, in the heat of it, I kind of, like, honestly just didn't think to, or, like, whatever, then I run into them, and I'm like, fuck, I really wish you were at my wedding. So it does go both ways, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to, like, it's hard to wrap your mind around, like, who do I want for the most important day of my life? Which people?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Who makes the cut?
But, yeah, I think be honest. I mean, just, well, not honest. Say a white lie about how they can't, if there's not room for them, how, you know, you just can't make it work. And they're not going to know if they see pictures or something that they got replaced by somebody.
No.
No, they can just say that you had to cut it down. They don't need to know that you cut your list down by three people. That's fine.
Exactly.
If it is three people, maybe get rid of the favors.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That's true. You don't need pralines.
No.
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 Okay, let's see. We got one more.
Hey, ladies. I'm going to remain anonymous in case anybody from my office hears this, and I don't talk that much, so I don't think they'll recognize my voice. Anyway, I have a side gig as a wedding florist. I get a lot of feedback that my stuff's really great, and that I should be doing it more, maybe make it my full-time job, but I don't know. There's like, it's like this creative thing where, like, anytime you lose a client or there's any negative feedback whatsoever, you just, like, I don't know. It's, like, really hard to not just, like, break down emotionally and say, fuck it, you know, and, like, just be like, I'm happy with my 9-to-5 and no creative endeavor, no matter how, I don't know, sometimes I just feel like no matter how satisfying it is, I guess, it just doesn't feel worth it in some aspects to, like, just get rid of your 401k, get rid of your health insurance, and go out on your own and hope, like, I don't know, I guess you guys are comedians, so I was like, maybe they understand the, like, constant need to just, like, you know, be creating new, be polishing your craft, be all this sort of stuff. It just sounds, like, kind of exhausting. But anyway, should I quit my job and go full-time? I'm thinking about just taking acid or mushrooms or something and letting the universe tell me, but I'm also really scared to do that, so
I love our listeners.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you kind of, to me, she answered her own question, which is that she wants to just keep doing it the way she's doing it. It doesn't sound like she wants to make it her full-time thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I kind of was in, I mean, I was sort of in that position, like when I had my job, I was working in PR and then like doing stand up at night. And I was like, I think I should quit. And then when I quit, I did have like 2 years of just being like fucking destitute and being like, why did I quit? Like, mm-hmm. like there was time. I was fine. Like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't thrilled with my day job, but I also was at least like able to pay my rent. So I don't know. I think that it just depends too on like how much business you're bringing in and like, is it going to be financially like stable for you? Because if it's not, then that brings on a whole other layer of depression that I think is worse than day job depression, personally totally. Speaking, that's how I am.
Yeah, the anxiety of being like, oh fuck, where is money coming from is it's also like really creatively terrible. Debilitating, I think, sometimes too.
Totally. Yeah, you don't really create anything during that time. Mm-hmm. You're just like money, like where do I get it?
Yeah. It's all encompassing. Yeah, whereas I feel like especially if you can train yourself with the structure of a day job, then like the craft part is kind of like a fun break from that. Totally. It's like, oh, I don't mind working on my script on my lunch break because at least I'm not doing that spreadsheet, you know? Yeah. Or like, so yeah, there can be something really nice about that. But then like, I don't know, I am such that person that's also just like, yeah, fucking go for it. I don't know. Like, I guess you know, like there is obviously something really cool and beautiful about having something creative that you do and something that you are passionate about and find artistry in be the kind of like main thing you're spending your time on. Like that is a very rewarding life and lifestyle, but I think it always comes at a cost. So like mm-hmm. if you're willing to maybe go through hell for like a year and a half or two while you're figuring it out, and like if you're willing to kind of withstand that storm, I will tell you that I think there's like really good stuff on the other end of that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think it's also like any kind of creative work, you're going to receive criticism. You're going to, you know, people are going to tell you going to be rude and say some shit to you that like it is depressing. It does make you feel bad. So if you can handle getting that like more full time, like that is a part of what that job is, you know, I mean, especially I would assume with like, you know, wedding floristry, especially specifically that's such high stakes stuff, you know, that like if that is a part of the job, like, and it won't go away, I don't think, even as no matter how good you get, you know, we still all deal with bullshit and comedy that sometimes yep. I'm like, really, you disrespected me now? But you build up a skin to it. But that is a price of admission for these kind of jobs, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, I mean, usually depending on the person, I would be like, fuck it, go all in. But just how she sounds, which I'm not saying you shouldn't risk that, but if mm-hmm. you are just cool with it being your part-time thing, then I don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, half the time I am still working like a day job to let comedy shit mm-hmm. work. And it's very, very hard to make that shit pay off. So mm-hmm. It's funny because, you know, I watch Shark Tank all the time, and like you watch that and you're like, oh, this is somebody who should not have taken this hobby to, like, they should not have.
Right.
And totally. I was watching this one the other day where this guy came up with a cheese slicer. It was literally like a box that held your cheese, and it was obvious him and his friends had gotten fucking drunk and then like made this thing, and mm-hmm. it was just like so like, oh dude, just don't, this was like a fun thing you and your friends made, you don't need to bring this to Shark Tank. And I'm not, obviously she sounds very talented and this is like a different thing, but mm-hmm. you know, I think that we've been so like, you have to make your hobby your career, that it's not always true, and like you could enjoy it more by not putting that pressure on it, you know.
There's there's also like the thing of I heard on a podcast the other day, someone was talking about breakups, and they were like, if you've had the thought, I wonder if I should break up with them, the breakup has like already started, you know? And I think that's true with mm-hmm. your job as well. I think that if you're already having thoughts of, should I quit? Maybe you're not ready to quit today, but like you're on the path to quitting. So don't feel like you're stuck. Like the fact that mm-hmm. you're not allowing yourself to get complacent is like a good sign that like when it is right, you will
totally
leave that job.
For sure. And like there's maybe a possibility of like, you know, you going part-time or something as like you're transitioning, right. You know, it is I will say it is nice to like have a something separate from your art that you are doing for work sometimes, for me, that because then I can also be choosier with like with the comedy that I want to do, because it's like I, you know, being like, oh fuck, I have to say yes to like every horrible C club that wants me because I need to get my stuff, I need to make money this month, like I, you know, I don't want to lose the joy in comedy right. that I have. Right. You know, so, you know, I do little side hustles and stuff like that because I want to be able to maintain the ability to say no to stuff. So yeah. it kind of just depends.
I also like feel like, why does she, because we didn't hear her being like, I feel like this is starting to like, I'm always tired. Like this is starting mm-hmm. to like seep into my creativity because I'm worried about my day job. Like I feel like those are the situations when you need to start thinking about quitting your day job. Like when your day job is actively ruining your life.
Yeah.
It's totally. Time to quit your day job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, yeah, I didn't totally get that vibe from her.
No, I didn't get that either yet.
The last time mm-hmm. I was at like a desk, it was definitely just like, I had to. I mean, it was horrible, you know. It was just mm-hmm. like death walking into that place. So
yes.
I think your path will show itself, like, if you keep going, and you'll know if you want to, like, lean into that or not.
And it doesn't make you any less legitimate if you do it part-time or you do it every once in a while or you do it full-time. Like, I mean, I think it's such a problem with our culture sometimes where you say, oh, you're just a hobbyist. And it's like, no, you're just as legitimate, you know, because this is something you've learned to do. Just because it doesn't pay your bills 100% doesn't mean they're not also that thing.
Well, that's what I mean with other people kind of telling her she should go. And it's like, I think we've mm-hmm. been told that so much that it's like, people are like, well, you should do this. And it's like, do you have any fucking idea how hard it is to like open a small business to that level? Mm-hmm. It's not, that's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, great job. It seems like you've, you know, made a great place for yourself. So congrats on getting to this point. It's a good problem to have, you know.
Definitely.
I hate it when people say that shit. God.
What's a problem to have? That is, yeah.
Yeah, send us some pictures of your flower arrangements. We'd like to see them.
I would love to see that.
I like seeing a picture of a flower.
I love how in flowers are right now. I mean, I know flowers are always in, but like cool different arrangements, you know.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Oh, are they in?
I see a lot of it on Instagram and stuff. A lot of like cool neutral tone bouquets and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm so into that.
Yeah. Nice. I like it.
Jamie, are there any like wedding trends that are like happening this year? What's the 2020 wedding season bringing?
Lace N95 masks that make you look like a handmaid.
Oh god.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Not sure.
Are we still doing mason jars? Are they still
I think
are they here to stay?
Okay. I did not have mason jars at my wedding, but I want to say something quickly in defense of mason jars.
Oh, I love a mason jar. But
they're cheap. Yes. That's why everybody does them, because they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like they get a lot of shit for being basic, but they're cute and they're inexpensive.
Yeah.
That's very true. Love a mason jar. Yeah, I think, that's a really good point. They are, I am definitely into anything that's like, oh, this is a way we can save money. It's like all of those little tricks, like they add up and it does save you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, Jamie, thanks for doing the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
let
guys
everyone
are the best.
Know where they can find you online and all that.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram at Really Jamie Lee, and The Wedding Coach is on Netflix right now. 6 episodes. It's very bingeable. Yeah, watch it.
It's super funny, and Jamie Lee's super funny on, and she's got other great comics as well. So go watch it on Netflix right now.
Thank you.
And thank you guys, and thank you, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, guys. My name's Olivia. I am a pretty recent listener and first-time caller. And I do have a quick question. I am a young lady right now, you know, just about to turn 21. Haven't had a sip of alcohol, you know me. Well, you really don't, but anyways. I'm from Ohio, but I'm currently living in Washington, D.C. right now for the semester. And, you know, right now, with the conditions of being in D.C., it's a bit crazy. And honestly, not much to do. So I was wondering if you guys had any tips, especially in COVID, with kind of how to keep yourself busy. I don't really know a lot of people here, so I'm kind of on my own. I just kind of want to find some things to keep myself busy and not go insane during this time. I love you guys so much. Your podcast is one of my favorites to listen to. It really keeps me busy through the entire day and makes me laugh so hard. I'm huge fans now, and I hope you guys listen to this. If not, that's okay, but thanks. Bye.
Hi, I am a new listener brought in by the MFM fandom. My name is Elisa, and I actually am calling in response to one of the lady problems from today. About 3 years ago, I married a loser, and I honestly wish that my friends were a little more aggressively vocal to kind of talk me out of the situation. We have now been divorced for about 2.5 years, and it was just a really rough time in my life, and I wish that my friends kind of were just a smidge more aggressive with trying to voice their opinions, although they did voice their opinions very gently throughout the 10-year relationship prior to the marriage. Well, that's it, and love you guys. Bye.